Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I'm back.
You are back. How are you doing, Mr. Brand Spankin' New Daddy?
Good. I've had three coffees today.
Good. That's more than me, which is impressive.
It's like small cups. Like, lately, I've been trying to cut back, you know, like, from... like a couple cups and a couple like outdoorsy coffees from the restaurants.
I was like, what's an outdoorsy coffee?
any coffee that comes away from the home.
Out of doors.
get it? I thought you would have been like right on. I'm trying to start this new thing where people use more words than they actually need to.
I see.
It's called confusion. No, it's been really good. You know, a couple of late nights. I've been sort of like modding my game time, you know, working around lovely Caden, who sleeps mostly during the day, and as most people come aware, I am on parental leave, so I am home to take care of the kid, but he sleeps all day, so it's like, well, I guess I have to not sleep as well and play video games. And then during the night, he's always up, and because we're breastfeeding, it's like there's not much I can do except moral support.
So basically you don't have to do anything because you're like taking care of the baby time is actually like just sitting around all day while he sleeps.
Well, not really. So like that's,
I feel like you should be just playing a bazillion video games right now.
Well, that's the problem is that like, that's not necessarily a problem. Like I am off work to take care of Caden and to help Ashley out where needed. So like, for example, this morning, and then we won't go into super huge details. If people want like gratuitous detail, not gratuitous, like there will be pictures except cute pictures of babies, but nailing it. But on
geez, you take 1 week off and you're just like right completely screwed.
Yeah, can't talk so, at all. So we're gonna recap the whole story and give people more details on So I Married a Podcaster season finale probably soon when we get some free time and we're both awake. And we'll go into more details like that. But no, like today as an example, he was fussy all night, and then 5 a.m. rolls around. Like, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to stay awake. I made coffee. And I basically like held him for 3 hours until he was like, nah, this ain't happening. And then he cried enough that Ashley had to get up and feed him. Aww. So there are those instances where it's like, I'm going to like play interference here and kind of be like, look over here while you go sleep for a few hours, which has been super rewarding for me because, like I said, there's not a whole lot else I can do. So it is nice when I get those moments where I'm like, yeah, she's sleeping. It's like a new record. She got 2 hours. It's perfect.
Oh, poor Ashley.
Yeah, she's doing great, though. She's super optimistic and just nailing it. Just nailing it, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, so that's how bathing a baby works, and they cry the whole time, and it's super scary, all right?
So. Oh, man. I honestly, I can't wait to see you guys this weekend. It's going to be so good. Yeah. So in between all of your baby holding and cuddling, what have you been playing? I think we've both been playing the same thing, so I'm pretty excited to talk about this.
Yeah, The Witness. I've been playing The Witness, which is, and I listened to last week's episode, and I know James was playing it and had some really stellar things to say about the game. And depending on when you wanted to talk to me about it, I would have had polar opposite like opinions of the game. Like,
right?
I loved it and I hated it. And yeah. I thought it was appropriately priced, and I thought, what a waste of money, you know? It came out.
Like you are the gaming community.
Yeah,
seen like total polar different opinions, mm-hmm. and sometimes out of the same person. Like you said, James last week was singing the praises of this game. He's been singing the praises all week, and then he got to a part that he didn't like, and he was like, this is a stupid game.
Yeah, and I think everybody who plays this game has that sort of a bunch of brick walls that they like slam into after progressing through these puzzles. And for me, I started playing the day it came out, which was probably my most tired day, where we had been, you know, we've been home for a week, but Caden was starting to get into this schedule of being up all night and then sleeping all day. So when I finally got around to playing it in the evening after dinner, I was exhausted, which check yourself before you play The Witness. If you are tired, put the controller down, come back in the morning with some coffee, because that game, especially in the beginning, where there is no, there's no tutorial, there's no like manual, you are just in a world, and it the only prompts you get are the buttons you have to use, which are the X to start a puzzle, and then you basically fill the line in, and then you move forward. And that's essentially the whole game, which is both frustrating and kind of genius, you know? It's, you want to hate this game, but you just think, like, man, this guy worked so hard with a simple concept, or the guy and his team, Jonathan Blow, and just, like, progressed from a simple word maze thing, or a simple line maze, to, like, these puzzles that involve shadows. And I heard there's puzzles that involve sound, which, man, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think there's, I think, 13-ish puzzles in the game. I read on, I think it was Polygon or something. Basically, most of the puzzles can be completed by anybody. Some of the puzzles are challenging if you're colorblind. But there are 13 puzzles, I think, in the game that you can't actually solve if you're deaf. So that's kind of crappy. But, I mean, 13 out of, what is it, 800-ish or 600-ish? I can't remember. But
yeah, the number
some
keeps...
stupid high amount of puzzles.
Yeah, and you can check your progress. Like, when you hit the pause button and hit load game, it'll tell you how many puzzles that you've actually completed. And I think I'm around, I'm sneaking up on the 200 mark. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, like, at this point, current point in time, I've kind of learned the tricks to the game, but I've hit these walls where it's like, I'm not going to be able to solve it. Like, I'm literally staring at this puzzle, and it's like, I don't know what you want me to do. Just tell me, like, even just give me, like, rule number one about solving these puzzles. Like, do I circle the orange? Do I separate the red? Do I make sure the white is surrounded? Like, that's the frustrating part, and the beauty of the game is that you have to figure everything out yourself.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is really, really frustrating. And I definitely hit what I think is probably the point of no return for me with this game, because I'm not a huge, huge fan of just exploring for exploring's sake. Mm-hmm. I like Skyrim, for instance, because when you explore, there's a reward for exploring, which is more story. And you could say that the reward here for exploring is more puzzles, but I feel like in other games, it's still pretty straightforward about what you can and can't do at any certain point in time. With The Witness, I found I went through, so I came out of the starting area and I went left. Mm-hmm. And so I did kind of like the puzzles where it was like the artist studio and then like kind of like a swampy kind of thing. And there's like, it was the symmetry area. So like you would start drawing one way and then like basically there's like a mirror thing happening and you can't cross the lines, but you have to go through all the certain dots with one certain color sort of thing.
Right.
So, I got through that area and there was one part of it that was really, really challenging, because basically like, the line starts to disappear. And then, so you still have to do the symmetry thing, but you can't see the other line.
Yeah.
So it got really, really challenging.
It ramps up. It goes at a steady pace.
Each area definitely ramps up. And then, so I finished that and I was like, okay, well, I'm right next to this deserty kind of area. So then I went to the deserty area and then I'm just like, WTF. Like, I accidentally clicked on the wrong puzzle board and then it just went black. And I was like, I guess I can't do that puzzle now. And then so I went to the other puzzle board that looked the same. And it's literally like you start in the middle, there's a dot, and then there's like six lines going out from the dot. And then there's like all the lines are connected. And then each of those six lines is like a potential endpoint. Mm-hmm. And I literally did every single combination that you could possibly do while drawing a straight line that doesn't intersect itself, leaving in each different position, and the puzzle never solved. And so I'm just like, okay, I literally have tried every possible iteration of this puzzle and nothing works. Like, and there are no instructions, there's no nothing. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't even like, for the symmetry one and for the artist studio, there was kind of like a set of five or six puzzles that was like, okay, here's the basic concept. We are going to ramp you up slowly and teach you something. And there's nothing like that in the next area. So I was just kind of like, I guess I just leave now. Like,
yeah.
So I left the desert area and then I kind of went over a hill and then found like a lumber mill, kind of a mazy area. And then I was just like, again, there was a puzzle that I could do that opened a door into an area full of puzzles that I couldn't do. And I'm just like, well, where is the training area that's going to tell me what to do? Because all of a sudden there's just like little symbols in between that, like they're different shapes in between all the different spots where you can draw the line. And I'm just like, I have no freaking clue. And I don't want to sit here and try to figure out what a triangle means. Like, yeah. Because you basically have to go through and solve the whole rest of the puzzle. And there's no indication really of what you've done wrong other than like something will flash red. Mm-hmm. And it'll be like, oop, you did this thing wrong. So you're just like, okay, the F does triangle mean?
It's interesting because the game, there are certain parts of the world in The Witness that are, in my opinion, better designed than others. And I mean, it depends on what you're going for. I'm sure some people who have played The Witness and beat it, like those top tier 1% Redditors who are like, this is the best game ever and I've finished everything and I solved everything and I'm super smart. Do you even puzzle, bro? And I think that they're going through and they're figuring it out. But for me, and it sounds like for you, like there are certain parts of that game where it's like, no, we're not going to give you any hints. You just have to figure it out. And then the next puzzle will be a little bit of an iteration on that. But there are examples in this game, like you mentioned, I came across that desert area and it was like, okay, I'll come back.
Yeah.
And there was another one. There was a courtyard in a keep and you could go in the keep. And the first puzzle was actually really cool where it's like, here's a hedge maze. Go through the hedge maze. That's the path of the line you need to take. I thought that was super creative.
Yeah.
What's the variation on this? The next one is there's a hedge maze, an open hedge maze, and the puzzle is a representation of that open hedge maze, but there's no one path. So it's like, well, what's the variation? Just guess? Like, I don't know.
That's, I guess, the feeling that I had often after I left the symmetry area is then I felt like I was just guessing as opposed to figuring things out, because I don't know if I just walked into like kind of the middle to end game content and I haven't found like the other teaching areas yet, but I'm just like, I literally looked at where like the big mountain thing was and I was like, if that's in the middle of the island, I don't want to walk all the way over and like to maybe potentially find the stuff I can do.
Have you found access to the boat yet?
No.
So I went, after I solved the symmetry, I was like, I'm going to follow this line because I have no idea where to go next. And I didn't really realize it was sort of just this open world. You could do anything. So I followed the laser to the top of the mountain and there's like some audio clips up there and there's just this weird shit. It looks to be the end of the game. And I know we're going to want to talk about audio logs so we can come back to that.
Yeah, okay.
Because I could hear you. I could hear you like wrinkling and I agree with you. But and then I went back down the other side of the mountain and I came across this boat. And basically what it is, it allows you to go around the outside of the island. And there's some articles out there where they say, don't spoil yourself. But here are some tips. And one of those tips was the boat, to find the boat. And then use the boat to go to the different starting areas. And 9 times out of 10, when you go to that starting area, it's going to take you to an area where there are those tutorial puzzles for that area. And even then, I was hitting that same roadblock where it's like, these tutorial puzzles are bullshit. You know, they're not telling me anything. Or like, I'm guessing and I'm figuring it out. And then I get to a puzzle where it's like, the rules that I built up in my head don't apply. So you kind of have to like work your way backwards, figure out where your guessing kind of led you astray. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very tempting to be like, I'm stuck. I want to finish this area. I want to get the laser so I can move on. I'm going to look up tips. And then you go to look up tips and it's a typical puzzle video game where it's like, no, you don't need tips. Here's the solution. And it's just this reoccurring.
Yeah.
Just paying $40 to look at Reddit and then, you know, going over to your game. And I've done it a few times, but I stopped myself because I'm just like, I'm tired. I'm just sitting here. looking at an image and then putting lines in. And I'm learning because I'm figuring it out. And sometimes that can be helpful if you're really stuck to get that one puzzle done and look at the solution and say, okay, now I see the rules to that puzzle area. And you should be able to enjoy this product. And if that requires you to go out and get a little assistance, then, you know, you should definitely do it. I understand people's frustration and wanting to walk away from the game, but I think the investment that I've made in it, like the $40 price tag, has me kind of putting it down and coming back to it in smaller chunks. And that's really been helpful. And if you want an area that's really fun and the rules don't kick your ass, there's the forest that is based on shadows, and then there's the swamp that is a little bit easier, but it's tricky. And once you kind of figure out the way it works, it's more Tetris based, so you got to kind of think with getting blocks in and using the outline and stuff. So those are two areas that'll keep you busy probably until next week. And yeah, those are fun areas. Like,
from just the sounds of it, the swamp might be the area where I learn about a lot of puzzles that are currently being a roadblock for me, because I've seen like what looks like one of those little like T-shaped Tetris pieces. And I've seen like little yellow triangles and stuff. And I feel like, I think there was also, I'm trying to remember. I think there was another shape that kind of reminded me of Tetris. So I think maybe since I haven't done the swamp, but I guess what I just want is a little bit of direction from the game, which you don't get any. It's like you have to solve the exploration puzzle as well. And I'm just like, I just kind of want to go and have a linear progression game that gives me more and more challenging puzzles. Like, I don't need to, or I don't want to, I guess, spend time guessing at where I should go next. It gets so frustrating that I feel like I don't want to play the game anymore. And that to me is a game design issue. Like, if your players feel like they don't want to play your game anymore, like, that's a problem.
And yeah, that's a lot of like the stories I've seen when the game came out was just, you know, it was like, this is a game that's going to make you angry and make you want to put like slam the controller down and delete the game. And I've had those games. And with this one, because, and they kind of use the open world as an excuse, and it sounds like I'm nitpicking negatives here. I actually do really enjoy the game, and I do want to go back, and I don't know if I want to finish it. I know I want to keep playing, but I know there's going to be a point where I'm going to have to put the controller down and be done, but I highly doubt I'll actually beat it. Because it sounds like the end game puzzles are infuriating, like really bad.
From the sounds of it, yeah, because I think James has made it up to the mountain and is at the point of solving the problems on the mountain, which does seem very endgame-ish. And he's basically just like, this is really stupid. Like, these are just straight up not even challenging mechanics. They're just straight up bad mechanics, because it's stuff like, I was just reading bits and pieces of tweets and stuff, but I think he was saying something along the lines of like, it'll randomly, like, the puzzle will randomly turn off or something. Like, you'll lose power for no reason. Oh. And, like, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
can you imagine being almost to the end of solving a puzzle and then all of a sudden, like, the power to the panel just goes off and you're like, ah.
It's interesting. Like, I think The Witness and Jonathan Blow would probably really hate the statement, but The Witness is coming out on iOS and it would work really well as a freemium game, you know, because it would encourage you to not play continuously. Like, if there's an energy system where you could walk around and then do like five puzzles, and every failure you lost a bit of energy and then you had to come back like a day later with more energy, I think that's the proper way to play the game. So maybe like get a piece of graph paper, put some energy in there, and every time you fail a puzzle, just erase a little bit of energy, and then you won't be frustrated because you'll be like, well, I spent my energy, I guess I'll come back in 2 hours. Because that game, And eventually you're going to finish all the puzzles that you can finish. And then it's like, well, now it's just the shitty puzzles that I gave up on left. And shitty, again, an opinion, but I don't know. I don't like really hard games, and this game is super punishing. I have limited time, you know?
I like hard games as long as there's a good reason for it. And to me, the good reason is usually the story. Like, I will play a really hard game if it has a really solid story and I want to know what happens to the characters. I want to know what comes next. I want to see what happens in terms of the lore. And if you don't have any of that, then I really don't care, and I'm not going to punish myself when I could be playing something else I find more enjoyable with better story, better lore, better mechanics. So for me in The Witness, it is completely and utterly lacking any sort of driving force in terms of story, because what is in there is audio logs, which we touched on earlier. They are, first of all, very hard to find. They look like a little USB stick, basically. And they're super teeny tiny, and the ground, at least in the areas that I've been so far, is covered in these little rocks about the same size and about the same color. So there is like no easy way to find these audio logs. I found two so far, and then I stopped looking because the two that I found, first of all, long-winded, and second of all, pretentious as all shit. Like,
yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, I was just like, I do not want to listen to this at all. Like,
it made me angry, kind of listen to a few of them. It's like, what is this excuse? Like, maybe at the end, like, it'll all make sense, but I don't care. Know. Like, it's just like, I'm kind of thinking, like, is this an island for douchebags? Is that what this is?
Right?
Like, you know, Albert Einstein, I heard his audio log. I thought that was fine. They didn't use a weird German accent, which I thought was missed opportunity. But,
I didn't know that there was like an actual like Einstein one. There was one, I think, talking about, it was some chick talking about like God.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that was some dude talking about like how the pursuit of science was like godly or something like that. But again, it went on for probably a good 5 minutes. I tuned him out after sentence number three. I'm like, I don't care. And you're just like, I don't know, going on and on and on about like, yeah, just total pretentious douchebag nonsense.
It's weird. It's just so, it when I found the first log, it was the Albert Einstein one. I'm like, oh sweet, this is like an island where like really smart people come. Like, maybe this is heaven for smart people. And that's what I thought. Like, this, that would
that's
be
cool.
That'd be a really cool story. And then it kind of, and then there was someone like a Buddhist, which was also cool, which I thought, okay, that's still along the lines of what I'm thinking, heaven for smart people. And then I went up to the mountain, and there's literally one that's like 20 minutes, and it's just this woman talking about space. And I'm like, no wonder they sent you to space. You're boring. Like, they probably sent you up there and like cut all communications. Like, we'll see you in 9 months. Go see Mars and think about what you did. And it's just so, I don't know.
Go see Mars and think about what you did.
Or didn't do. Like, shut up. But I thought that I really like the environment, and the story just comes off as, I don't know, like maybe it'll start to make sense, but. Oh, maybe it was Thomas Edison that Night Vale's talking about. Maybe it was. I thought it was Einstein. But anyways, I want to love the story, and I want to love where it's going, but it just seems like the puzzles. It's not meant to be something that is completely understood. It's meant to be part of, it's its own puzzle. Like, you're trying to figure out what the story is. And there is a story. There is an ending. Reddit has alluded to that much, and it's just, I was hoping for a little bit more on that end, like a more on the mystery. But I do dig the puzzles. I think it's a really clever mechanic spread across many different things. But I agree with you. I really wish there was some sort of like, here's how this area works. Have fun, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly. Like, I would really like some sort of either indicator that I shouldn't go there yet, or a tutorial at the start, or like one of those sets of puzzles at the start of each area or something. Even if it was just like, hey, remember these other areas?
Yeah.
You did these things. Here's a couple puzzles to do before you really go in there. Like, because I wasted so much time in that desert area, because you can't, at first I thought maybe, okay, I'm supposed to jump down because you can kind of see some puzzles that have like fallen through the floor, because it's kind of like a construction scaffoldy kind of a site in the middle of the desert thing, but you can't jump off any kind of ledges, you can't go in any water, you can't do anything like that. It's very much like just there's no jumping, there's no nothing, just straight walking. And I was just like, I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm like, I tried like literally three times every iteration on that one like star puzzle I was telling you about, and nothing worked. And then, like, I wandered all over the place. I was like, oh, I can walk up all the scaffolding. So I walked all the way up to the top, and I looked down on everything. And I'm like, there are no clues here. And then I'm like, there's stuff that looks like it should be clues, but it doesn't fit like the pattern of the puzzle that I can't answer. So I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh my, I probably spent a good 30 to 40 minutes just walking around and trying to figure out how to start the desert area. And then I literally like turned the game off, walked into the other room where Matt was playing Rocket League. And I went on like a 5-minute rant about how stupidly ridiculous and horrible this game was. And he's just like, huh, tell me how you really feel. I'm like, that is horribly real.
I again, so frustrated. If you really like puzzle games and you really like just being dropped in a world without being told what to do, this is the game for you. And I feel like that's why it's getting such high praise, because for journalists who play every single game that comes out, this is like the eye wash that they need. Like, this is just the brain soothing game of like, no one's telling me what to do. There aren't hours of tutorials. I can just go in, play a couple puzzles, pop out, discover some weird audio log from a woman who went to space for some reason. I feel like it's really perfect for those who just want a different experience and want to be challenged. Is it for everyone? Hell no. Like, is it for me? A little bit. I kind of feel, I go back and forth, and there are days where I'm playing and I'm really progressing and I'm having a great time, and then there are nights where I'm playing and I'm not making any progress, and I am literally sitting there drawing lines for hours, and Ashley's sitting there nursing Caden, and she's like, why are you playing this game?
Because Ryan is known for having to finish every horrible, terrible video game ever.
That's why I'm scared. That's why I'm really scared. Like, next week, like, I'm afraid that I will have sat down to try and finish this game, and I will be a shell of a man. it's really, we need like a witness support group. Like, this is where like having a chat channel where we can always come in and be like, have you solved this puzzle? Like, how the hell do you think we should do this puzzle? It would make a really good game club game, but it's,
I feel like I'm a little bit disappointed, and I don't know if I'm disappointed in myself or if I'm disappointed in the game, but like, I feel like I could potentially be this game's target audience. I love Hearthstone, which is essentially just like one problem after another, because you're constantly trying to solve the board state with the tools that you have in your hand. When I was growing up, I absolutely loved like word searches, logic puzzles, Sudokus, like all, I loved puzzles. Mm-hmm. I was one of those huge nerds that would take a puzzle book with me on the bus and to school and stuff, because I didn't have nearly enough homework to do. I was a huge like puzzle nerd. Mm-hmm. So this should be right up my alley, but it's not. Like, it's like they took puzzles and made them unfun.
Yeah, and Grant is laying down some sage knowledge right now when it comes to playing The Witness, and he's saying, like, if you're stumped, you know, stop what you're doing, sleep on it, walk away. And I have done that, and I've come back reinvigorating, wanting to play more, because I'll be dreaming and having nightmares about drawing lines in my sleep. And then also one is to play with a second person. I have played with a few second people sort of watching me play, and that helps. But it's also dependent on whether that person is actively wanting to help. Because most of the time, they will just dig into you and say, like, why are you playing this crappy game if you can't finish it? Like, you're inferior. You keep bashing your head. And this isn't Ashley. This is just, like, most of the people I play it with. Because they are noticing that I am failing. And I'm like, I don't want to walk away. I solved, like, 50% of these. Maybe two more. And I'll light the laser lantern. Like, why would I want to walk away? I don't know. More on that next week, I suppose.
Yeah. Deep breaths. Let's get The Witness out of our system. And yes. Let's remind everyone that if they want to support the show, they can go to bit.ly/amovestore, where we have really, really cool stuff. All kinds of like pint glasses and wine glasses, stemless wine glasses, which I actually love. I wasn't really sold on the whole idea of stemless wine glasses, but they've grown on me, and I love the Gamers Inn version of a stemless wine glass. So again, that is bit.ly/amovestore. You can pick up a glass from any of your favorite Amove podcasts. So there's also The Angry Chicken and Into the Nexus. And basically they have the Amove logo on one side and the podcast logo on the other. So they are really, really super cool. So again, bit.ly/amovestore. Which brings us to the topic of the week this week, which is a noob's eye view of the Hearthstone changes. So we are not going to go crazy super into all of the changes coming to Hearthstone because there was a huge, huge, huge announcement yesterday. We are going to be fully covering it on Monday on the Angry Chicken. We are probably going to have a Team 5 member joining us, which is amazing. So that is going to be a crazy, jam-packed, huge, long, I'm anticipating like 3-hour show on Monday covering everything that's coming. But I find that myself, Dills, and Garrett tend to have a not new player view of a lot of these things because obviously we've been playing since beta. Mm-hmm. We've bought a lot of cards. And so a lot of these, or not a lot, but some of the parts of these changes are basically geared towards helping the new player experience. So it's really hard to put yourself in the shoes of a new player. So I thought I'd talk to Ryan about it. Yeah. So again, we are not going into everything about all the Hearthstone changes, but just there's a couple of things specifically that I wanted to touch on. So really, really super quick overview. Basically, what's happening in Hearthstone is that we are getting a new game mode, which is going to be the World Championship kind of like format, I guess. Sorry, totally like lost my words there for a second. So it's going to be the World Championship format. It's called Standard. It's going to be kind of the collections that are released in the current calendar year and the previous calendar year. So for 2016, you'll be using cards from 2015 and 2016. Okay. So the amount of cards available in Standard will sort of grow as the year goes on and as more things are released. And then at the end of the year, you will cease to use 2015. You'll start using 2017 and 2016. So then the collection in Standard will shrink again. There is also still going to be a version, a format in Hearthstone called Wild, which every card is available to play. Both Standard and Wild are going to have ladders, but the only ladder where you're going to be able to earn HWC points will be the Standard ladder. So, mm-hmm. with the phasing out of the cards, and this is kind of where, like, the, I guess, noob experience comes in, with the phasing out of the cards, you're no longer going to be able to buy old sets, and you're not going to be able to buy the old adventures. So, in spring 2016, when Standard format launches, you're not going to be able to buy Goblins vs. Gnomes or Naxxramas anymore. You can still craft the cards if you want to use your dust that way and play in Wild format, but you aren't going to be able to actually play the adventure. So, Ryan. Does this make you, like, how does that make you feel? Because I know you bought Naxxramas,
yeah.
the adventure, right? So you are kind of the new player. You don't have all the adventures. You don't have all the expansions. Your collection is kind of, like, centered around the whole kind of 2014-ish card set.
Sure.
So how do you feel about them kind of phasing that out? Is this something that you care about at all? Will you even bother to play Standard? Will you just keep playing Wild if you play at all? Like, how does it make you feel?
I mean, to me, when I first saw this, it was confusing. It's like, this feels like a thing you do to take a game and, like, just break it over your knee. You know, in my experience, without having played any of these games and seen anything like this, but then once I dug into it and started to see that Twitter wasn't on fire and Reddit was, you know, its usual self, I was like, oh, okay, this is normal. Like, this has happened before. I saw a few, like, comparisons to Magic and how they've maybe done this, or I might be just, again, this is just the reactions.
Yeah, I think Magic does this because they've been around for so long. Basically, yeah. Magic has, like, a set of cards that are, I can't remember what the formats are because I don't play Magic, but basically, yeah, they've done a very similar thing. Like, they have your set that you play in competitions, and then there's other formats that play with older sets. There's some that play with all cards allowed sort of thing. So it's very similar.
I feel like this change to me as a player who kind of does Hearthstone and fits and starts, like, well, like, I think after Nurtacular, for a good 4 months there, I was playing pretty religiously. I've fallen off again, but then when this news, when the expansion launches, there will be, I'm sure we'll do another Ryan Wrecked Ranked, where it's like, now there's this new experience for a new player to come back and not feel like he's not going to make it past, he or she is not going to make it past rank, I don't know, 18 or 16, whatever my highest was. And now that Standard is this, what I would call a limited playing field, where you're not going to have these cards. And I know there are a few cards that people have been like, thank God it's gone. So it's interesting to see that that will be happening, because that's what the game needed. Like, that was my main concern with Hearthstone. It's like, well, I'm not in it enough to be playing every day and keeping on top of it. But I am in it. I am interested enough in it that I want to play occasionally. So knowing that the game will be at some sort of like manageable playing field, especially with standard, I can jump in and not feel overwhelmed by like, okay, now I have to learn all of the new expansion cards and the expansion cards that I didn't come across that are now part of the meta, mm-hmm. right? So it's nice in that front. And then it's also nice for veteran players where they have the wild. So I'm glad that they've kept this mode where it's like, don't worry, all your cards are still fine. You'll be able to use them if you really want to. You can, you know, if a new card comes out in a new expansion and you want to play it alongside your, I think it was
your Dr. Boom.
Yeah, Dr. Boom, that's the big one. Then you can do that and you can do it in wild. And I'm sure there will be now two sets of meta where it's like, have you played the new Dr. Boom new card combo? And it's just what's, it's hitting the wild cards. It's all in there, man. I think it's really cool. But the thing that really bothers me is you mentioned the adventures. You're not going to be able to buy the adventures. And that's kind of like, that's my favorite part about Hearthstone is those adventures. I mean...
Well, okay. So the thing is, you are still going to be able to craft all the adventure cards. If you have purchased the first wing of the adventure, you're going to be able to play it all the way through. Like, you've purchased that content. So that's not going away. It's not like you're not going to be able to access it anymore. It's just new players aren't going to be able to purchase the adventure. Mm-hmm. But there are always going to be multiple adventures available for purchase, assuming they still keep coming out with adventures, which they have been a little bit touch and go about whether they're actually even going to continue that format. They basically said they don't know what the future of adventure content is.
Oh, that's too bad.
So we may or may not see more adventures. I think we still will. I think they probably still have a few planned. But generally, expansions seem to, although adventures are fun in terms of like game content, it's a fun new thing to do every week. In general, expansions and putting that effort into a larger card set tends mm-hmm. to be better received by the community in general. So basically, they said they don't know what they're doing with Adventure or how it may or may not change going forward, especially with Tavern Brawl now. They've got right. the same sort of a thing as Adventures in Tavern Brawl, even though it's not against AI, it's against another person, but still, it's that kind of crazy, fun, kooky, different experience, and it happens sure. every week. So, but for now, anyway, there will still be more Adventure content available to purchase. So as you lose Naxxramas, assuming that we keep going on the same cycle, you'll gain something in the fall that will be another adventure, something that you can play in this season. Okay. So it's like there's always going to be 2, 3, or 4 adventures available, and then they're going to get chopped off, but then they're going to get added again. So
okay.
it's kind of, and like I said, if you have purchased the first wing, you can always play it. They're not taking that away.
Oh, so, yeah, they're not taking the content away. I think
they're just trying to, from what I can tell, kind of like focus the player in on what's important, mm-hmm. which is like they're basically saying that since standard format is the world championship format, that's kind of where they want people focused. So if you're a new player and you want to come in and you want to compete, standard is your place to go, and you need adventures 4, 5, and 6, not 1 through 6.
It'd just be really cool to see those adventures. That I understand why they're taking the adventures away, because those adventures reward cards, and they don't want you buying cards you can't use in the standard mode. Makes perfect sense to me. But the experience of adventures as solo content, even if it is a little shallow, especially Naxxramas, which was their start and their sort of mm-hmm. experimentation in comparison to League of Explorers, is night and day.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see maybe Naxxramas go into like a legacy format where it's like, okay, pay half the price just to have access to those battles. Mm-hmm. But you're right in that Tavern Brawl is essentially an adventure split up across, you know, 2 months, right? Where those kooky battles, while not against AI, against other players. And some would say that is more fun to play against other players, but it's just interesting. It's unfortunate to hear that there has been rumblings about adventure going away, but I can see it being
well.
More
and
work
I might for less be work. Reading way, way, way too much into mm-hmm. the statement. I believe it was Ben Brode in an interview with PC Gamer when he mm-hmm. said, "Like, we don't really know what the future of the content is." So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going away. Like, but I mean, that to me is one of the possibilities when they say we don't know what the future is. That means yeah. it could be the same as League of Explorers. It could morph into something totally new, or it could go away. Those to me are kind of the three things that could happen when they say they're unsure of the future. So, but I mean, as it stands right now, as the kind of development cycle stands right now, we're looking at an expansion in the spring and then an adventure in the late summer, depending on kind of like when they actually release the expansion. If it's coming in April, which I think it probably is, then probably like July-ish, we're looking at July or August, we're looking at a new adventure. So
it's a welcome change for those, like for brand new players. Like I've played enough Hearthstone over the years, but for new players coming to Hearthstone, I think what might initially come as a confusing remark of like, what's standard, what's wild, what do I buy, how do I make old cards, I think it'll be set up in a way that sort of guides the players to what they need to buy. In that you don't, like right now you're given what, three options for card packs, which can be very confusing. And there have been multiple people buy 60 card packs for the wrong expansion.
I think, now you've got Classic, Goblins versus Gnomes.
And then the tournament, right?
The Grand Tournament. Is that all we've got? I feel like there's an expansion that I'm missing.
And then there's three adventures. So there's three adventures and three card packs, right? So I think it's a very good move, and will be easier for players hearing about Hearthstone on the various podcasts and advertising and stuff. And a free-to-play game needs to be simple. And when a game's been around for years and you have a community that is thirsting for content constantly, you get a free-to-play game quickly becoming very complex. When you don't have new players coming in, you have less money coming in, and that's bad for a free-to-play game. So and I know there are those diehards that are putting in a lot of money, but like always having new blood in the game is super helpful for Blizzard, and it makes complete sense that they're doing this. And we've talked about seasons before. They're doing seasons. That makes perfect sense. I think it's a welcome change. It was confusing at first, but I think.
Do you have any negative feelings as a mostly free-to-play player towards the idea that now the money that you spent, or the gold that you've spent, or the dust that you've spent on cards is now basically being phased out, going away, like you have to start back at zero?
The thing is, like, I'm so fresh that I haven't been, like, I don't really craft cards. I only craft cards to fill in, like, a deck list or, like, do you have this card? No, okay, let's build it. That's been my experience crafting cards. I mean, I think the only people that would be thoroughly upset by this change are the people who have spent a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of dust. So for me, it's like, I don't care. It makes the game simpler. I don't have time to dig through Reddit and podcasts to figure out what's the new hot meta right now to be battling. So for me, it's no skin off my back, but I can feel the sympathy for those internet people who like to get angry when their money and their time and their effort is...
See, that's... Yeah. It's so funny because I am definitely in that camp. I have put a ton of time, a ton of money, and a ton of gold and dust into things like golden unstable portals and, you know, trying to get a whole expansion, even though I only play with maybe 25% of the cards from that expansion. I still try to fill out my collection. I feel absolutely no anger or upsetness whatsoever because I can still play wild if I really want to. Yeah. So my cards aren't like a total waste. But when I kind of look at the way I play Hearthstone, I am playing to keep up with the meta anyway, and a lot of the cards just aren't there. You know, like I've spent a lot of money on cards I don't use anyways, so them phasing out collections means pretty much nothing to me. I really don't care. Like, I'm going to keep up with the meta wherever the meta goes, and if that means I don't use cards, I don't use cards, and that's kind of fine.
Anybody who is getting upset, it's like, well, you still could play them in wild, and then is no comeback to that, because like wild is the same as standard. It's still ladder play. It's still
I think what everything. People are probably the most pissed off about is that basically wild is being put into the same sort of category as arena, in that, like, yes, you get rewards for it, yes, it has a ladder, so it is still technically competitive, but it doesn't actually lead to the Hearthstone World Championship, which I also find to be kind of a little bit of a funny sort of, like, basically, like, standard is like the serious competitive Hearthstone mode. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, if you're never going to get to the World Championship anyway, what do you care what ladder you play on? You should play the kind of Hearthstone that you have fun in, and you can still be competitive because you're playing against other people who also get that enjoyment.
Yeah.
Whether that is Standard, whether that is Wild, whether that is Arena, if you are playing and competing against people who are enjoying the same mode that you are, and you're never going to be the world champion anyway, like, why do you care what their world championship format is? So,
yeah. It's all still there. Nothing's being deleted. The adventures, I think they could probably come back and say, like, okay, here's like a legacy way to access that content if you came in later. But again, like, if you're coming in later, like, you're going to want to play the new and hot stuff.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to go back to Naxxramas. Like,
I wouldn't really want to go back to 2014 content because Naxx was really not all that special. Like you said, night and day from what they did in Naxx and what they did with League of Explorers. It's just, League of Explorers is infinitely better. So, I think I would rather just play the newer, better content.
It's a solid change, a welcome change, and something that's been needed by a lot of players who have stayed away from Hearthstone for that exact reason. It's like, I played when it came out, and now it's like six expansions later. I'm too overwhelmed. I'm not going to touch it. Now they have no excuse.
Yeah, and I do like that they're keeping basic and classic cards as well in Standard, because they give the classes their flavor, and so that kind of returning players have that base where they're already going to have a big chunk of cards that they can start playing with, and they're going to have that familiarity. So even though some of the Standard mode cards are going to, you know, come out as the years pass, you're always going to have your basic and classic sets. So I think that that's really cool too, and will potentially bring players back who have missed out on a year or so of content. So that's really all I wanted to kind of talk to you about with Hearthstone. Yeah. I mean, we're going to go, like I said, way super crazy in depth, but I was just curious to see where, like, you definitely represent the more free-to-play, more casual-type Hearthstone player, and really the audience that they're kind of aiming for, I think, with some of these changes. So
yeah.
I'm really, really excited for this. I think it's a great move. And I really can't wait to dig into it with the guys on Angry Chicken. But
yeah, that'll be a good episode not to be missed, especially if you got someone from Team 5 popping in to answer your hard burning questions.
So. Yep. So that's all we're going to talk about. No more Hearthstone talk today, I promise. Wanted to remind everybody that we have game night coming up Thursday at 8 p.m. So if you are a patron of The Gamers Inn, you can go to patreon.com/thegamersinn and tell us what you want to see us play or what you want to play with us. Reminder, everyone who's a patron, you guys, you get invites. So if you want to play, then just let us know. The post is up. And we'll be playing again Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern over on twitch.tv/JossPlays. We wanted to thank everyone who is supporting us over there because you are making our extra content possible. Also wanted to remind you that in, I believe, March, we are going to be going to weekly Patreon from monthly Patreon. And with those changes, we're going to kind of change up our goals and make it more focused on bringing you more TGI content. So, look for those changes. We'll be emailing everybody a bazillion times. We'll be tweeting it out. If you want to check out our last Patreon hangout, we actually did that and discussed everything that we were going to change. So take a look over on patreon.com/thegamersinn for all the upcoming changes. It's going to be really, really super cool. I'm excited. Yeah. We do have some listener feedback this week. We got an email from Webby talking about our leveling in MMOs conversation. Basically, I'm not going to read the email word for word, but basically just saying that just because James and I didn't like leveling doesn't mean that it should be removed from games, and because some people basically like that gameplay. And I think it was maybe just a misunderstanding of what we were talking about. I wasn't necessarily saying that I didn't like leveling. I like leveling through, like, basically main storyline content. I don't necessarily like being stopped on my journey through the main story to have to go to side quests to hit some sort of a arbitrarily decided level cap to say, like, you can't pass through door X until you are level Y. That was my basic point. So, Ryan? Yeah.
I read this email and I listened to last week's episode, and I understand where Webby is, his opinion is coming from. I don't think anybody, I think everybody should give us, benefit of the doubt when we say stuff. Like, what we say is our opinion. And as Webby said, everyone's entitled to an opinion, but, like, we're not ever trying to, like, denounce other people's enjoyment of games, but I think what Jocelyn and James were coming at is there are modes that do help do go towards what they are talking about. And then Mass Effect had like story mode where you didn't have to level up, you just played the game. But some would also see that as easy mode, and it was easy mode because it literally turned combat off and let you just shoot people in the head and walk into the next cutscene. So that's not really what they were looking for. What you guys are looking for is just better design, and Blizzard's come like a long way from you know, collect 10 chickens to doing great stuff.
I love how chickens is always like our go-to example of the thing we hate to do. Just anything involving chickens. Don't make me kill them. Don't make me collect them. Don't make me corral them. Like, just F the chickens already.
Yeah, and it's just, WoW does it really well, and I certainly experienced it with WildStar and Elder Scrolls in my time there, where, yes, you are doing leveling for leveling's sake, and then there are those cool quests where that's the carrot you're going for. You just have to kind of follow the carrot for a few levels, and for some people that's awesome, and for some people that sucks. I enjoy leveling. It's one of my main... you know, that's why I play World of Warcraft and then usually peter out afterwards. So everybody comes from different sides, and I just think that there are some games that do it better than others. Like your example of
Kingdoms of Amalur
was like a clear bad design when it comes to leveling, and I know a lot of people enjoyed that game, but it still wasn't the best design. Like, you can still enjoy something that's poorly designed. Like, I've got plenty of examples. You know, like, I am by no means a man who only plays the best games ever, like The Witness. So good, you know? Indie, it's like a fine wine, you know? You know, sometimes we enjoy, like, a really shitty watered-down beer. And you're just like, it was hot out. I just want to drink this Carling, okay? So, that's just, it's okay, Webby. We understand.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really sorry if I offended in any way. Like, I wasn't saying like game sucker leveling. I like love, and Sirian in the chat room said, like, wasn't Joss a huge fan of the ding? I am. Yeah. I love leveling up. I think it's great. I'm currently leveling characters in Warcraft. Like, I love the ding.
The ding is the best.
Yeah.
Is this a soundbite? What are we doing?
I think what we were what we might have mentioned in terms of just leveling in that ding was that, like, kind of feedback response, like, they make you feel really good. And then when you kind of realize that, like, you're doing it because you want that, and I can't remember the name of the brain chemical, but, you know, like, it does that feedback loop where it makes you feel really good and, like, you should do it more. So I think that when you kind of realize that, you're like, oh no, my brain chemicals are being exploited. And that was, like, the feel bad leveling thing. Oh, baby!
There we go.
Oh, hi, baby.
Don't cry. You're on air.
Oh, he's adorable. Okay, so everybody, audio listeners, you need to go watch this part of the video because we just met Caden for the first time.
So he's not wearing his... He has a Gamers In onesie, but it's 6 months, so he's not wearing it. And dopamine, Nightfell. So this is Caden. He's kind of just woke up.
Yeah, he looks super sleepy, and he's like, what the F, Dad?
And I'm like, I don't even... How do I hold you?
You're like, how do I even hold this?
I want to hold you so they can see you, but I also don't want to hold you awkwardly so you start screaming.
Just, like, back up a little and, like, stand up or something.
Oh, yeah, there. Oh, but I'm tethered in. That was not...
Don't choke the baby with the wires.
I'm just gonna... There, see?
Oh, he's so cute.
He's got his eyes open and everything, too. He's like, why you wake me? Why you do this? He's like, I'm not allowed to look at the screen. So.
It's very bright. Things are happening.
Right. He's kind of... He's fine.
He's so cute.
He's still here.
He's like making little coo noises.
Aren't you? Okay, well, as long as he stays quiet, he's probably really just looking around. Aren't you?
Yeah, he can hang out. Absolutely.
So third chair, we were going to bring him in earlier, but he was sleeping. He's looking around. Look at that. Stop smiling. What are you doing? He's still here. So he's been really...
Oh my god,
good.
Ryan, you are hilarious right now.
I know. He's adorable. It's going to be really hard to finish the show. I'm distracted.
I know. Oh, I love how in love with your baby you are. It's adorable. All right, so we also have an email here from L Train about Hunting the Truth, Heroes Ladies Night, and Discord. So he said, first things first, Ryan, it's no longer a love-hate relationship. Just love now. Not in that way. You've got Ashley and Caden for that. But here's why. I found alternatives to Hunt the Truth. First, Hunt the Truth was loosely based on Serial by NPR, which is probably worth a listen. Sorry.
I'm trying to move him, but he's literally like, I'm just trying to hold you so you don't freak out. That's all. No, you're like got an old man look to you. You're like, he's like, see? Anyways, he's fine now.
Okay. Which is probably worth a listen. While searching for alternatives, though, I came across a quirky little drama called Welcome to Night Vale. It's a little out there and has a unique humor to it, but try a few episodes and I think you'll enjoy it. I'm hooked. Never would have found out if not for Hunt the Truth, and TGI sold me on that. Joss, more Ladies Night Hero streams. You crazy bitches crack me up. I think I'm going to have to listen to it again now, just because I'm thinking about it and could use some laughs. Keep rocking and stay so hot. Also, yes to Discord. Just do it. No questions here. I'm currently using it for multiple heroes communities and love the instant accessibility and total utility of it. Plus, the devs are really active on Reddit and constantly looking to add more features, and the mobile app is great and killing my workday productivity. So thank you, L-Train, for that email. That's awesome. I'm glad that you're enjoying Ladies Night. We absolutely love doing it. It is like the highlight of my week now. So, so much fun. For those of you wondering, I stream with Jules, Nevermore, and Barber on Tuesday nights, and we play a ton of heroes. We're not great, but we drink wine when we die, and we have a lot of fun, and we make a lot of ridiculous comments. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to say them here, but there's just a lot of ridiculous comments.
It seems like I've caught a few bits and pieces of the stream, and it's like, it's awesome viewing, and it's a great way to watch heroes, and it's a great way to play heroes too. Like, I know a few of you are very competitive, but like, it's just, man, just have fun. And you guys are having fun, which is
the best part. We have a ton of fun. And Night Vale, you're right. We do need a fifth lady. I was hoping that was going to be Ashley, who she's Fake Gamer Girl on Twitch. But unfortunately, it doesn't actually work out with the schedules of all of their podcast recordings. So we need a fifth lady. So if you are currently listening to this, you are a lady. You love Gamers In. It's fine, Ryan. You love Gamers In. You love heroes. You love me. Whatevs. Drop me a line. Let me know. And we'll see if we can maybe cycle in some fifths and see who kind of fits with the vibe of our super fun Ladies Night show. So yeah. Thank you again for that email. And Ryan, I'm sure we'll check out the Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, we're gonna check that out, because Serial is one of those that everybody knows.
Raves about.
You're all right. I know you're pooping. It's fine. We're almost done. Like, literally, he will fart and it sounds like a grown man. So I'm kind of hoping and also dreading. Okay, go ahead and let her finish the show. What are you doing? You're okay. Anyways, yeah, no, I'll check it out. It'll be really cool.
I feel like you're going to need some, like, listening material. All right, guys, so that's going to do it for the Gamers In this week. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on AMUTV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show over at The Gamers In. I don't actually think Caden has a Twitter account yet, but as soon as he does, we will let you know. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about The Witness, do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying with Gamers In, and remember, tune in next week.
Bye, everybody. Say bye, Caden. You were really trying to poop. It's okay.